We are inquiring about college sports amid the pandemic. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Big Ten announced last week it will be going to a conference-only season for fall sports. The Pac-12 followed suit a day later. The ACC and Big 12 both announced Friday that the decision to play college football will come in the final days of this month. So rewind to late last month when UW Athletic Director Barry Alvarez described having daily conversations with other Big Ten directors, and he called the situation fluid.
It seems like every day there's a different announcement and things that we have to adjust to. I think we have to be getting closer because our kids are going to be reporting for camp in a few weeks.
How would you feel about the return of college sports this fall? Would you go to games? Are you a current or former athlete? What do you want athletic directors to know about sports in a pandemic? We're at 800-642-1234. Matt Bells covers the Badgers for Bucky's Fifth Quarter. It's part of the SB Nation Network. Matt, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate. It's been a while.
Well, how have Big Ten and UW officials explained their decision to limit competition to teams within the conference? Oh, and I think
at this point, one thing that's been noted is just how transparent the Big Ten has been. Commissioner Kevin Warren was pretty honest about what could happen with COVID-19. He said we might not have sports in the fall and we might not have a college football season in the Big Ten, and that reducing college conference games was just kind of a logical first step in an attempt to save a fall season.
How have athletes and fans responded to the announcement by the Big Ten?
I think there's been some hesitancy with it. A lot of people like the status quo, like being able to go to some huge games, such as the game up in Lambeau against Notre Dame that was highly anticipated. You were looking at some home games that are obviously going to impact businesses who are already struggling because of COVID-19. I think people are starting to come along in understanding that, hey, there's probably going to be fewer games, though. There's going to be kind of, like Barry Alvarez said, a fluid ongoing change. Two things. I think for me, something that I'm fascinated by is the idea of the different television networks and how they're going to have to maneuver things. Maybe there's going to be things with more games on television during the week in an attempt to try to fit games in when it's possible. And that's assuming if there's a season in general, really, at this point.
How hands-on has the NCAA been in giving schools and divisions guidance here on how to proceed?
I would say that's something that's fascinating, is because college athletics don't really have a czar or an overseeing body that really makes decisions. It's kind of what we're seeing play out amidst the pandemic, is that each conference has kind of jurisdiction over what they're going to be doing. And so I think this shift is a way for the Big Ten to kind of take over some of that ownership and to put universal testing measures in place, just because there's other programs across the country that might have differing spikes going on. There is different logistics that they might have to jump between, and it really gives flexibility. But really, overarchingly, there's not much that the NCAA has done other than saying, these are what we recommend, and here are some different timelines to work within.
Yeah, and so without that czar, so to speak, the decisions coming down from the NCAA versus choices that individual schools and teams and divisions make about the pandemic, is this on like a school-by-school basis?
It's definitely on a school-by-school basis. We've seen different schools opting to shut down or pause their workouts going on. Ohio State recently started theirs back up. Wisconsin has kind of been able to keep it going based off of testing numbers, not having huge surges. But yeah, it's definitely at the school level. But I would say really where a lot of this is happening is at the conference level. We've seen the Big Ten make their decision. Pac-12 followed suit as well over on the West Coast. And then I think it's only a matter of time before other conferences follow along as well and follow their lead. I think it's just more of a kick the can down the road and see what you can, if you can kind of bide some time.
We're catching up on college sports, what the fall could look like with Matt Bells. He covers the Badgers for Bucky's Fifth Quarter, part of the SB Nation network. Your insights as well. Do you attend or work at a university? How would you feel about the return of college sports this fall? Would you go to games? Are you a sports fan? How would you feel if teams canceled their fall seasons like the Ivy League? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Matt, the UW announced a week ago that 7 student athletes had tested positive for COVID. That number came from after 428 tests over the past month. What did the UW do about those athletes who tested positive? What were the actions?
So about 1.5% tested positive. We've seen kind of that rate shift among different schools, some being higher, some being lower. But what I've been gathering from UW is essentially they're quarantining those individuals for multiple weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, to get them back out of harm's way, hopefully rested up, feeling better, and making sure that it doesn't turn into, oh, instead of 7 positive tests, we now have 34. So I think right now it's a lot of the same things that people are doing with work. Is if you are an essential employee and you are at work and you are to get sick, you have to go ahead and quarantine for X amount of days. UW is doing that. And then also just making sure to monitor and doing contact tracing, making sure to test players frequently, and making sure to also test players both if they're having symptoms, but then in normal intervals.
So if fall sports do happen and the play goes on in the fall, in the Big Ten, will fans be allowed to attend games? Do we know anything about logistics?
I think that's the million-dollar question right now. I think if I was a betting man, I would just guess that probably not. I just don't see a feasible way to maybe make that happen. As somebody who, you know, I'm financially binded to the hope that college sports come about, I'm hoping that there are fans. I'm hopeful that I can be there covering the game as well. But I am also understanding that really right now, college athletics and really our world in general are playing chess against a demon that doesn't really have rules to play by, whereas everybody here is trying to do what's right in the best interest of athletes and in people in general. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see that. If there are fans, I highly anticipate that it would be a lower amount and that there would be testing coming in or some sort of measures put in place to ensure social distancing. I know that the UW has put in a Badgers Defend initiative to spread awareness of some of the ways that fans can mitigate their risks associated with the virus, because obviously they're always going to be inherent risks, but washing hands, socially distance, wear a mask, etc. The same things that people have been saying across the country.
So in the fall, football being very high profile, very highly attended, what are some other fall sports that hang in the balance here?
Yeah, essentially every fall sport is kind of in limbo. You look at least for UW athletics, they have a very talented volleyball squad, and that volleyball team is one of the top contenders in the entire country, looked at as preseason, a team that could make a lot of waves. And they're on campus, similar to football. They were amongst the first group to come back. But at the same time, they're kind of in this same boat where it's right now voluntary workouts with the hopes of eventually getting into a normal season. But then you have soccer, you have other sports that are really just hoping to get on the field, because and at the end of the day, everybody wants to have enjoyment of sports, whether that's the athletes, whether it's the fans, whether it's the coaches, but everybody also wants it to be done in a healthy manner that makes sure that nobody's at risk.
Well, looking at UW women's volleyball team in particular, one of the nation's top programs in recent years, does last week's announcement effectively block teams from competing for national titles here?
I think that's really going to be something to watch, because it's going to be hard to justify adding more games later on in the schedule. If you're saying, hey, postseason success, I know in football they're talk of possibly cutting some of the bowl games down. I think it doesn't eliminate it fully. But at the same time, I think it's one of those things where people need to look at it and understand that there needs to be some patience and empathy going on, and as everybody's trying to deal and navigate with this very fluid situation. So I would guess that it doesn't close the door on it, but it definitely makes the door a little bit more narrow.
You alluded to this earlier, the Badgers football team scheduled to play Notre Dame this fall at Lambeau. Could that game be rescheduled for another year?
It sounds like that's in the works. That's something that both Wisconsin and Notre Dame want. It's a high-profile game, a game that a lot of fans want to see happen, both in the Midwest, but also really nationally, especially at a cool venue like Lambeau. As things stand, it sounds like they're going to proceed with the game in Soldier Field that will follow this season, but that they will try to put that game at Lambeau on another time in the future. I think it's a lot of fans are hoping for like a home and home, where teams, they would kind of shift to going to Camp Randall and going to South Bend. But I just find that that's probably less likely just because of the amount of money that is up for grabs if they do it at a neutral site that they can split.
Can you see the economic loss there then for Green Bay?
Yeah, it's definitely something to monitor, because Green Bay is so heavily tied to not only the Packers, but then you look at games like this and concerts going on at Lambeau. So I think it's definitely something that any games, any events are huge, because tourism is such a way that cities can make money. So I think it's definitely something that Green Bay will have to kind of deal with, just like Madison will, because there might not be as many home games in downtown Madison on Monroe Street and Regent.
Matt Bells covers the Badgers for SB Nation, talking about college athletes this fall, whether the sports will go on. How do you feel about college sports teams and your alma mater's decisions to date? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Matt Bells here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're checking in on college sports. After the killing of George Floyd, current and former student athletes urged the UW Athletic Department to address racism. Here's Athletic Director Barry Alvarez late last month responding to a question about inclusiveness during a virtual town hall.
It's something that we take seriously, and we're going to be doers, and we'll be active and proactive in doing whatever we can to help better society.
Are you a college athlete taking a stand on racism? How do you want your university to change? And fans, how could you change athletic departments to confront social injustices? Still time, 800-642-1234. We have Matt Bells, who covers the Badgers for SB Nation Network. He stays with us. Matt, in pro football news this week, the Washington, D.C. football team announced that it would retire its team name, a racist slur for Native Americans. Could that decision in the NFL open doors for changes in college football?
I would think that it would naturally do so. I think we look, and this has been a movement that has happened for years within high school athletics. We're now seeing it happen at the NFL level. I would only assume that it will trickle down to the collegiate level as well. And I'm hoping that it's kind of representative of a greater acknowledgement of the harm that's been done in the past, and hopefully understanding that names can be changed fairly easily, because the fans in Washington, D.C. are great, and they're going to follow teams, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, etc., regardless of the name.
What's holding teams back in making this change?
I think it's a lot of times just the legwork that would go into it. Maybe some of the blowback that might happen from a subsection of the fan base as well. So I think there's a lot that goes into it, and I'm not envious of anyone who has to make decisions at such a large impact. But really, I come back to, fans are going to support their hometown teams regardless of the name or logo in my eyes.
What have UW athletes talked about in their effort to make the university more inclusive? What have we heard from them?
I think there's a lot of different initiatives going on, and I think the the racial discussions that are happening in our country have really elevated the platform, and understanding that players have a voice and they can use it. Specifically, a player that had the opportunity to interview is Adam Krumholtz, a senior wide receiver on the team. He's been working to help kind of combat some of the racial disparities that are prevalent in Madison and Dane County in general by partnering with Nehemiah, an organization on the south side of Madison, working to provide essential items and support families in need. You also have athletes across all of the different sports working to band together and put forth an initiative to adorn all the uniforms with the university crest that display a black W on it, and as a way to show solidarity and commitment to inclusion of black and other underrepresented students, that their lives matter. So I think it's one of those things. That's the crest that overlooks at the top of the field house on Regent and Monroe Street. But I think it was recently accepted, and it's a way to put forth some simple things to hopefully get conversations happening beyond a lot more.
Turning back to the pandemic and the look ahead to fall, if UW were to cancel fall sports, what would that mean for the athletes and the athletic program? Would athletes, for instance, be able to keep their scholarships?
I think that's another great question. We saw what happened in the spring where essentially the NCAA said that anybody who did participate would still be able to keep their scholarship. That wasn't able to participate, I should say, was still able to keep their scholarship, and also could save their eligibility. I would imagine that something like that would come about. I still think there's a chance that fall athletics gets pushed to the spring, just because there's a lot more revenue involved with fall sports than there are in spring sports. And really, I think it could have a ripple effect. If you don't have football and basketball, and hockey, both men's and women's, in both basketball and hockey terms, it's going to have a significant impact on the working budgets for a lot of the athletic departments. And we've seen that programs such as and universities like Stanford have had to make some pretty tough decisions and wipe out a chunk of their athletic department.
And so the possibility would be to move these fall seasons to the spring. That would have to be a very orchestrated move, I would think, because that would be a lot of moving parts across teams.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there are so many variables to play with that are involved with this. And so I think a significant shift to spring means not only are a lot of the people who are in the athletic department working with, say, the rowing team, or are working with the track team, they might also during the fall be normally working with the football team. So it's one of those things where people are going to be stretched pretty thin. You'll have issues with regard to TV contracts. There's a lot to parse through. But at the same time, I know that one thing that's been pushed around is that there is so much financially at play because of the importance of sports such as football to help pay for the rest of the athletic department and academia in total, that it still is a possibility depending upon how things kind of work out with COVID-19.
If you're just joining us, we're discussing college sports and what the fall holds for play amid the pandemic with Matt Bells, who writes for Bucky's Fifth Quarter, part of the SB Nation network. Still time for you. Are you a current or former athlete? What do you think people should know about the pandemic and sports? How are you feeling as the coronavirus stays with us? Be part of this 800-642-1234. So, Matt, let's look at recruitment here. Summer is typically the time there is, recruiting efforts for football. How are the Badgers doing in recruitment?
That's actually been a pleasant surprise for the Badgers here recently. You look at the previous years prior to 2019, and basically recruiting efforts usually resulted with the team bringing in high-caliber athletes, but at the same time being nationally ranked above 30, above 40. But recently, in 2019, they brought in the 29th-ranked class. 2020 is the 26th-ranked class. And the class currently that they are recruiting, the 2021 class, they're ranked 15th, which is a significant shift in what they are able to do. I know in talking with Paul Crist back on June 19th, he had referenced that while they can't really specifically talk about recruits, he was able to say that they had really been able to grow and be able to have more conversations with kids because there isn't spring practice that they also have to attend to or players on campus as much to attend to, that they were able to focus their efforts a little bit more on the recruiting trail. You look last night, actually.
I'd imagine they're watching a lot of tape. It's not like they're flying around the country to meet with these recruits.
No, not at all, because there is basically a no-travel ban and no-contact ban for all athletes and coaches outside of just over the phone, over Skype, over Zoom. There's a lot less of the moving pieces and more of building relationships, which has definitely helped. You look at last night, the Badgers actually landed an in-state player who's – it's funny because he's in the 2022 class, which is crazy that I'm saying that, because the young man just finished his sophomore year of high school. But he's regarded as a very talented player out of Fond du Lac, and the Badgers were able to get him. So it's once again a push of just how much improvement there is on the recruiting trail has been kind of fun to watch as a person who covers it.
Yeah, and so there, you say that the they're having more time to focus on recruiting because the other things that they would normally do aren't going on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you look at the amount of time that they're able to dive into film, to be able to have Zoom calls with athletes. Some of the athletes that we've interviewed that they are being recruited by have said that the UW has been able to set up Zoom calls with legends such as Joe Thomas and things like that. So it's definitely something that UW is looking to try to make lemonade out of the lemon that is kind of COVID-19 right now.
Well, Matt, thank you for joining us.
For sure. I'm happy to come back anytime.
Matt Bells writes and produces a podcast for Badger fans for Bucky's Fifth Quarter, part of the SB Nation network. Just ahead, we take a deeper look at reconciliation after major conflicts, how other countries have attempted to mend division. Is it time for the U.S. to carry out reparations for African Americans hurt by generations of injustice? Your thoughts, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.